and good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. We just came through a time warp, and we are here.
We're here.
The studios of WDKO.
Hyperlink. We are hyperlinked.
990 AM here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we want to welcome you all to our program today. We're very excited. Dwight Zimmerman's got his program all put together. He's going to be coming to us from Firebase Brooklyn, and he's got some great
authors. We're talking about the real Brooklyn, folks, where it all is. Absolutely. Out there in the East Coast. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And if we bring Dwight up on the air, could you? Dwight, you there?
Hello.
Good morning, sir.
How are you guys?
We are terrific, and we are glad to have you on the program. And I've got a question I wanted to ask you about. This is kind of a little off topic. We got an email this morning from a good friend of ours, Bing West. Many of you out there, our listeners, know who it is.
Oh, yes, I know Bing. Excellent writer.
Excellent writer, and he sent us an article about what's going to be happening in Syria and what it will mean. And it's not something that we really can address in great detail today. But I'm sure you, like us and the rest of the country, are very concerned about this possibility of getting involved somewhere again.
Oh, yes. I've been reading about it. I just caught up on the latest in the morning newspapers, and it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. And according to the statistics, or not the statistics, the latest polling is that the American public isn't too much in favor of this also.
No, they really aren't, and I can't say they blame them. I'm not too happy about this either, and there doesn't look to be any good decision, no matter which way you go on it.
Well, it just depends on how you look at the whole thing. Now, don't forget, there's three of us in on this conversation. I think you got to do a little something like this. You can't have that chemical business going on. Absolutely not. It's like when the Israelis took out that nuclear reactor. There was a lot of dissent on that. But you know what? It was the thing to do.
Yeah, but what are you going to bomb?
I mean, you're asking me if I had that, I'd be at the Pentagon right now. I don't have access to maps or any of the intel, but I'm sure that's what they're working out.
Yeah.
And recently I've been watching a lot of military channel, and they've been talking about these smart weapons that go in there with, I mean, like really minimal. They have something called the Griffin. That was on the other day, that these smart bombs that the drones bring in, and they can go right in there and surgically, hate to use that word, but surgically go in there and take out what's necessary. And
yes,
I think what they're waiting for is the intel.
Yeah, but the smart use of a smart weapon from a stupid decision doesn't really help matters.
Well,
that's very true. And we're going to be talking more about this next week when whatever occurs might occur or not. And it's unfortunate that we've gotten ourselves backed into this corner again.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it will straighten itself out a little bit, and maybe we can talk to Bing and have Bing on the program next week for a little bit.
That would be good, because if there's anyone who would have his fingers on the pulse and be able to talk well about it, it would be Bing West.
Well, as a close here, this was part of the National Review, and the title of the article, "The U.S. Will Strike Syria, What Will It Mean?" by Bing West. The U.S. will strike Syria, what will it mean? National Review article, August 27th, 2013.
So for all of you, I want to know a little bit
it's
about
it's really
it.
Cool. The guy can write, man.
Yes, he can. And he knows everybody.
Yes, he does.
Which is really important. We have one event, Dwight, thanks. We have one event that we want to talk about coming up in the next week. And for all of you out there listening to Veterans Radio, wherever you are, if you have an event for veterans coming up, let us know about it. We'll be more than happy to talk about it on the air and get some more people to show up. We're talking about the Vietnam Veterans of America and the VFW here in the Ann Arbor area that are having their annual pig roast fundraiser coming up next Sunday.
Oh, then piggies are
Sunday,
good.
Sunday, Sunday. Sunday, which is September 8th, I believe. It's from noon till 4 in the afternoon at the VFW VVA campgrounds on Wagner Road in Ann Arbor. Come on down. We've got a tank out there. We've got a helicopter that we'll have people out there talking about their duty in those particular machines. Great food, great opportunity, great entertainment. We even have a new playground for kids. And so we encourage everybody to come out for that.
And all of you, all of our listeners out there, check your local listings and look for these events. Get together with other veterans. It's really cool, a lot of fun. You'd be surprised. In the Corps, huh? Well, me too. Hell, you know, and all of a sudden you're buds, right?
And you can
bring the wife and the kids. So it's not just Ann Arbor or Washtenaw County. It's all over this great land that we have. Check that stuff out. Get together with other vets. Yeah. We're very strong. There's 25 million of us. We're very strong. There's an election coming up in a couple of years. Guess what? Are we going to make some noise or what? Yes. All right.
Okay. Dale, Bob, before we get into the break, I just want to quickly mention an event that occurred with me this past week. News crew from TV4 Sweden contacted me and interviewed me about Air Force One. The theme was A Day in the Life of Air Force One, from start to finish, what happens when the president goes on a trip. Apparently this is going to be part of a feature when, and we hope that this actually does happen, President Obama goes to Stockholm to be at the G20 summit. Let's hope that nothing worse happens in Syria that causes him to cancel that meeting, because you know, if he does show up there, then all of our listeners in Sweden, check out the TV show, TV4. You will see Dwight Zimmerman there talking about Air Force One.
Oh, I like it.
I like it. You know, and there's a lot of good things happening to Dwight and also here at Veterans Radio. We've got some other gigs, as they call them, coming up. We're hoping we'll keep you notified out there where we will be. We will be in Dayton, for one thing, at the end of the month.
For the MWSA.
Yes,
we will. I'm really looking forward to that as president of the Military Writers Society of America. Finally meeting you and Nina, Bob.
Oh, yes.
For the first time, Dale and I, of course, go way back on this.
It's
an exciting time. We have some excellent writers. We got a great program. And, of course, we will be broadcasting the program live at Dayton. And I'm looking forward to it.
What hotel is this conference going to be in, Dwight?
It's at the Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn, Dearborn, as they make it.
In Dearborn, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to let all our listeners remind them, we bring these books to you. A lot of times they hear from listeners, hey, I don't know what to buy my uncle, or I don't know what to buy my brother or my dad. Military, a book. It keeps on giving. It stays with you forever. A tie, but a book. And we bring those books to you through the MWSA people and the award-winning authors that are part of the society membership. So we will have a special tag, right, Dale, on our menu board, on
Absolutely.
Our website.
We're working on it. We're working on it. And as many people know out there, when you are our age, sometimes we can be technologically challenged when it comes to websites, but we're working on it. And that's why we have Maria in there sending out messages as we speak on Facebook. By the way, you can go to Facebook.com/Veterans Radio or Twitter.com/Veterans Radio and send us a message, and we'll talk about, as long as it's clean, we'll talk about you on the air or with you.
I just want to make something in closing, folks. Remember, we're going to be having this book tag on our menu, and it's going to be something that's really cool. The authors are going to be talking about their book for a few moments, and what it was to write the book, what it was, why they picked the topic, etc., etc. So you get a chance to actually see the book, meet the author, get a little synopsis, how to pick it up. Wow, we do. You can do all your Christmas shopping right now from veteransradio.net. There you go, Dale.
Okay, thank you. I'll pay you later. Dwight, we've got an exciting program for you. Your At Ease programs. Can you kind of give us a little preview of who's going to be on and what you'll be talking about, and then we'll take our first break.
Okay. Thank you, Dale. Yes, I'm really excited about this program. My first guests are going to be Roy Scranton and Matt Gallagher, who edited the book Fire and Forget, Short Stories from a Long War. These are stories about the Afghanistan and Iraq conflicts, and some of these stories are absolutely amazing and very powerful. I was deeply moved by them. We also have on board Stephen Harding, who wrote the book The Last Battle. It's when U.S. and German soldiers joined forces in the waning hours of World War II in Europe, together with senior political leaders from the French Third Republic. They united in an unlikely alliance to fight the SS. Mm-hmm. And then we have a special fundraiser. Dale remembers this movie, independent mm-hmm. movie Trooper. Well, the writer, producer, and director and star of it, Chris Martini, is going to be on board. And we're doing a special fundraiser to help get this very important movie distributed.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, when we're off the air taking our first break, perhaps you can give Nina the information to contribute to the Kickstarter program, and we'll get Maria to put it up on our Twitter and Facebook accounts.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a little over a minute. You're listening to Veterans Radio here on WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and this week's version of At Ease is just about ready to begin. So coming to you live from Firebase Brooklyn, Dwight John Zimmerman.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome everybody all over the world who's listening to you. My first guests, I'm happy to say, are Roy Scranton and Matt Gallagher, who edited this very, very moving and powerful anthology, Fire and Forget, Short Stories from the Long War. Roy and Matt, welcome to At Ease.
Thanks for having us on, Dwight.
So, Matt, I'd like you to tell us how the title and theme for this book came about. Matt?
Okay, we haven't been able to get a hold of Matt yet.
Okay,
we're going to keep trying, so it looks
Roy.
Like we've got Roy by himself for the time
okay.
being.
Okay. All right, then, Roy, to you, the theme and title. How did that all come about?
That's a great question, Dwight. Well, the title, came about as such titles do, us kicking around ideas and trying to figure out something that would stick. The reason we went with Fire and Forget was because it seemed like such a resonant term. As I'm sure you and your audience know, the term Fire and Forget comes from missile systems and weapon systems. They're the kinds of missiles that you fire, you shoot, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. It seeks its own target, so you can forget about it. And sometimes people refer to a soldier, right, as a Fire and Forget soldier, because, you give them a task and they accomplish it. But that's not particularly why we chose the title. We chose it because of that we faced a sort of a double-edged problem in what to do with our experience, right? The experience of war, the experience of serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. On the one hand, we needed to, and the people that we brought into the collection needed to tell the stories of these wars. If for no other reason to remind people of what happened. On the other hand, there's nothing most of us would rather do than leave it behind. Just move on, right? But for a soldier, to fire and then forget is the one thing you can't ever do.
tell us who are some of the authors you have in this?
I'd be happy to. There's a great lineup of authors. We were very lucky to work with some of the best writers, recently, who also happen to be veterans. And as well, I should mention Siobhan Fallon, the short story writer, who isn't a veteran herself. Her husband is. She's a military spouse. And we're just really happy and very lucky to, and honored to have her on board. Some names that your listeners might know would include Colby Bazell, who wrote the well-known memoir My War, the poet Brian Turner, my co-editor Matt Gallagher, David Abrams, who wrote Fobbit, and others. And also, we didn't just go with people who had made their name. We have a lot of writers in this collection who this is their first piece, or they're just beginning their careers. I would point to Phil Kly, whose short story collection Redeployment comes out next March. It's a very good collection. People should check it out. And also people like Mariette Kalinowski, a Marine who is now getting her MFA, and others like Brian Van Riet and Gavin Kovite. Just a wide range of authors, all excellent writers at sort of different stages of their career, and we're very lucky to have them.
Talking about the stories in general, what struck me was this: the writing itself stops, but the stories themselves don't really end. It's like an element of life that continues, and it's that incompleteness that was particularly gripping for me.
I like that. I like that a lot. One of the key ideas behind the anthology Fire and Forget was to bring together different voices, different approaches. It seemed to Matt and I that there is no one truth of war. There's not one story that you can tell and understand it, especially these last these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that went on for years, had several different stages and involved thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You can't just tell one story. So our approach was to bring together a sort of kaleidoscope or a panorama, or I don't have the right metaphor, but different voices, different approaches, and that incompleteness you point to, rather the way the stories live on after the words on the page end, I think is part of what we were going for. Because it's in that way that they mix together, then the way that they bleed into each other and contradict each other and bounce off each other, that we thought we could really, get something out there for people.
Now, you have a website, correct? I'd like you to tell our listeners where they can get Fire and Forget.
The website? Well, I would first... I'm a big proponent of small bookstores, so I would tell readers to go first to their local small bookstore and have them order it. But we do have a website, fireandforget.com.
I have the site up here. It's right? fireandforgetbook.com.
Well, fireandforgetbook.com. Thanks. Sorry about that. So I would send readers there, fireandforgetbook.com. That's the site that, we've got our publisher who set that up for us. It's available wherever books are, but fireandforgetbook.com.
Okay. Was there one particular story that really stood out or affected you?
I would say, every story in this collection hit me hard. There's a lot of stories that we didn't include for whatever reason, but every story that made it in made an impact on us. And what I love about the collection is the thing I've just been talking about, is that the variety of approaches, narratives, and voices. But one story that just nailed me every time is the one that opens the collection, Jake Siegel's Smile, There Are IEDs Everywhere. And this story, it's told from the point of view of a vet who's just come home, and he's trying to figure out how to reintegrate to civilian life. He's trying to find his way back into his relationship, with his girlfriend. And he doesn't know how to talk about what happened over there to her. And then a couple friends of his from downrange come visit. And tragically, he finds he doesn't know how to talk to them anymore either. And the way Jake manages to work his story right into that sort of hazy ache between memory and desire, between this frenzy to come home and a weird longing to go back, downrange. And the way he imbues his narrator's conflict about how and whether he can even tell his story with a kind of explosive subliminal power make Smile, There Are IEDs Everywhere just ring with an emotional truth I find devastating every time.
Well, thank you, Roy. I really appreciate you being on our program. I've been talking to editor Roy Scranton, who, together with Matt Gallagher, produces an anthology called Fire and Forget, Short Stories from the Long War. It's about stories of experiences in Afghanistan and Iraq. Again, Roy, thank you so much for being on At Ease, and good luck with Fire and Forget.
Thanks so much for having me on, Dwight. It was a real pleasure.
Okay, Dale, do you want to take our first break? Or a second break, actually?
Well, we could do it a little bit early if you'd want to. We can, and then we'll come back on with your next guest, Stephen Harding, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, we're going to be taking a break here. You're listening to Veterans Radio here locally on WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and all around the world at veteransradio.net. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. First Lieutenant John Fox called in artillery fire on his own position. Details after this.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
On Christmas night in 1944, enemy soldiers in civilian clothes gradually infiltrated the town Fox and his men were in, and by early morning, the town was largely in hostile hands. An organized attack by uniformed German units began at 4 a.m. Being greatly outnumbered, most of the American forces were forced to withdraw from the town, but Fox and other members of his observer party voluntarily remained on the second floor of a house to direct defensive artillery fire. Fox reported the Germans were in the streets and attacking in strength. He then called for defensive artillery fire to slow the enemy advance. As the Germans continued to press the attack towards the area that Fox occupied, he adjusted the artillery fire closer to his position. Finally, he was warned that the next adjustment would bring the deadly artillery right on top of his position. After acknowledging the danger, Lieutenant Fox insisted that the last adjustment be fired, as this was the only way to defeat the attacking soldiers. Later, when a counterattack retook the position from the Germans, Lieutenant Fox's body was found with the bodies of approximately 100 German soldiers.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
For the past 100 years, Amish furniture craftsmen have placed great value upon the beauty and quality of their work, with great attention paid to the details of the wood. Each board is then hand-selected to match the specific furniture in mind and in achieving the desired look of the finished piece. At Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor Showroom, you will find displays of this fine craftsmanship that you can afford and own. Now is the time.
You can visit Naked Furniture at 3570 Washtenaw Avenue and experience this fine quality for yourself. The furniture consultants at Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor are there to show you the fine details of Amish furniture. See for yourself the fine quality Amish furniture. Go to Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor, 3570 Washtenaw Avenue, or visit their website, nakedfurnitureofannarbor.com.
And we're back on Veterans Radio with Dwight Zimmerman and his monthly program, At Ease. Dwight, you're on.
Thank you, Dale. And I would like to welcome my next guest, Stephen Harding, to At Ease. Stephen, glad to have you here.
Thanks, Dwight. It's great to be with you.
Okay. I have to say, I've written a lot about World War II. I do a regular series for Defense Media Network, and I have to admit to you discovered something I didn't know about World War II, and I was absolutely riveted by your book, The Last Battle.
Well, I'm happy you enjoyed it, Dwight. It's a little-known story, and that's mainly because it was, bear in mind, just 2 days at the end of a very long war in Europe, and it was, in many ways, a minor episode, and yet it's one of those stories that's vastly different than any of the World War II stories we've heard up to this point.
You got that right. I mean, I looked at this and I said, if it were a piece of fiction, it'd be unbelievable. You've got the German army united with American troops and senior politicians from the French Third Republic united, and they're fighting the SS. I mean, come on.
It is quite the story, and if it were true, it'd be a little hard to believe. The quick setup on this, Dwight, is that during the last few days of World War II in Europe, at this point Hitler had been dead for several days, and there are these 14 French notables that have been imprisoned in this castle in Austria, in the northern part of Austria called Tyrol, for several years. And bear in mind, at this point in the war, things are very confused. Some German units are surrendering, others are continuing to fight. The Americans are moving forward relentlessly, so it's very unsettled. I kind of sometimes describe it as Fallujah, but with much better scenery.
Well, that's pretty appropriate. So give us some details on what exactly happened here.
The Germans had turned this medieval castle, which had also been a hotel at one time and a private home, into a very secure prison for these French VIPs, and they had prisons like this all over the Reich, and the idea was to keep prisoners who might be important as hostages or who could be exchanged for senior German prisoners, keep them alive and relatively well until they were needed. But at this point in the war, the Nazis didn't need them anymore. And as we found out after the war, Heinrich Himmler had ordered a Waffen-SS unit that was continuing to fight in that area of Austria to go to this castle and kill everybody in it, not just the French prisoners, but had their German guards still been there, they would have been executed as well. But as it turned out, the French sent out a couple of handymen on bicycles and essentially said, go find the nearest American units. One of the people that they sent out on a bike did find an American unit, but the other went into a nearby town and hooked up with a German officer named Josef Gangl, who had actually decided that he was no longer on the German side and had actually been working with the Austrian resistance. And he decided to go to the castle and rescue these 14 French people, but he didn't have enough men. So he actually went and found an American unit, a tank company of the 23rd Tank Battalion, commanded by a guy named John Lee. And Jack Lee was one of those sort of hard-charging, hard-drinking people who probably had found his niche in war, but he was able to think outside the box, and so he joined forces with this German army major. And they went to the castle and defended it, defended the castle and the French prisoners against this attacking Waffen-SS unit.
What was fascinating for me, too, was the French being the French, even in a crisis situation like that, which is literally life and death, they still couldn't overcome their political differences.
No, they couldn't. And I think the worst thing about their imprisonment was just having to interact with each other. I mean, these people had been before the war, they'd been political rivals, in some cases romantic rivals, and they hated each other. For the years that they'd been in this prison, most of them would avoid talking to the others. They sat at particular tables in the little dining hall. It must have been just excruciating for them and probably something the Germans enjoyed watching.
Indeed. So how long did it take you to actually write this thing or gather up the research? It must have been difficult.
Well, I actually heard the story more than 30 years ago when I was a young staff historian at the U.S. Army's Center of Military History in Washington, and I heard it from a colleague, a very nice gentleman named Dr. Fred Beck. He'd been compiling a file, but he wasn't going to have time to work on it himself, so he gave me the file, and I certainly took it with great thanks. And then I put it away for 25 years because, as we know, life gets in the way. I lived in Europe for a while, and when I finally came back, I started, in fact, I'd done some research when I lived in Germany, but I really started putting this all together again about 4 years ago, and I wrote first a short magazine article, and then that sort of blossomed into a book, and then that's blossomed into a movie script, and so the story has just sort of taken on a life of its own, but I think that's just because it's a unique story. I mean, it's not the sort of thing we're used to hearing out of World War II.
Well, you got that right. I see you have a Facebook site. Can you tell our listeners where they can find your book?
Absolutely. It's facebook.com/lastbattleineurope, all as one word. And we've got pictures up there of the participants. We've got pictures of the castle, some of the background story. And I think they'll find it very interesting.
And I assume it's in bookstores everywhere. You can get it on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com.
It is. You can get it at all the usual outlets. It's also available as an audiobook, as a Kindle or Nook or iPad digital download. And in the next year, it'll be available in several foreign languages for our foreign readers.
What in this battle itself, what was there any real tragedy that occurred that or a poignant moment?
I think there were several. The most poignant moment, and I think the one that readers will find probably most tragic, is one I'm not actually going to reveal, Dwight, because it's a very important part of the story. But this was a really fierce battle. It only really lasted 2 days, actually the 4th and 5th of May, and all of the fighting was on one day, the 5th of May. But it was a very fierce battle, and very small number of American soldiers, a few German soldiers fighting with them against probably a reinforced company of Waffen-SS troops who had automatic weapons. They had an 88-millimeter anti-tank gun, and with that and another weapon were able to knock out the only tank that the defenders had been able to bring with them. So it was touch and go for most of the fight. And I've been to the castle, and it's not someplace I would actually want to attack.
Describe that layout, because that approach there was really treacherous.
It is. The castle sits on a ridgeline that overlooks the Inn and Brixenthal River valleys in Austria, and it commands the surrounding terrain. And it's on its own little section of this ridgeline, and it's connected to the rest of the ridgeline by only one small bridge over a ravine, and there's a very strong front gate. It's exactly what you think of when you think of a medieval, Austrian castle. It's got high walls, and because it was a hotel for a while in the 20s, it's a little more refined than a basic fortress. But still, trying to attack it, unless you come across this one little access road, you have to fight your way up hills that are quite steep, and then you hit a wall that's, 40 or 50 or 60 feet, depending on what part of it, and that surrounds the castle. It was probably a very tough nut to crack, and that's probably why such a small force was able to defend it well.
What happened to the American leader in this unit after the war?
Jack Lee was a fascinating guy. He was from upstate New York, and when this whole fight took place, he was 27 years old. And for his part in the battle, he was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross, which, as you know, was second only to the Medal of Honor at that point. He's also one of those people who, he wasn't a warmonger, but I think he'd found his niche in war. He was very good at what he did. He was a natural leader. His men followed him willingly, and like many veterans who came back after World War II and some of our other conflicts, he was not able to fit back into society. I would say that in today's terms, he probably was suffering from pretty significant PTSD. But he tried to go into a professional football career. He'd been a star college player, and that didn't work out for him. And he just his life just kind of spiraled slowly out of control, and he was drinking too much. And I think, as a veteran myself, I've seen it in fellow veterans of other conflicts. It was partly because he really didn't know how to do anything else. And at that point, you know, he was one of only, you know, a million or so men coming back from the war. And his life just didn't turn out the way I know he had wanted it to turn out.
Yeah, it was very sad the way that ended for him. But that said, I'm really happy for what you put together here in The Last Battle. This is a very moving account, a very gripping story. And I want to thank you so much for your contribution to the history of World War II on this.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thanks for giving me the chance to talk about the story.
Okay, I've been talking with Stephen Harding, whose book, The Last Battle, is an amazing tale and an unlikely tale of when U.S. and German soldiers joined forces with senior French politicians from the Third Republic to fight the SS and save their lives in literally the final hours of World War II. Stephen, thank you again, and good luck with your book, Last Battle.
Oh, thanks. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Dale, we are going to soon have our next guest, Christopher Martini, and talking about his movie, the independent film Trooper.
Absolutely, and we'll take our last break before we get to that. That was a great story, Dwight. I don't know where you find these people. I guess that's why we tried to hook up with you, so we can meet these authors and learn these amazing stories that most of us, especially civilians, will never get a chance to hear unless they listen to us.
Yes, this is the delight here. As I told everyone, this was something about World War II I didn't know, and as you know, I've written an awful lot about it.
I know. You're our resident expert on that. It's always fun to find out new information.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this next message with Dwight Zimmerman and his guest. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now, we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and Dwight Zimmerman's at ease and his final guest for this week's Veterans Radio program. Dwight, it's all yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Dale. Okay, I am happy to have as my guest Christopher Martini, the star, writer, director, and producer of the movie Trooper. Chris, welcome.
Hi, Dwight. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Say, I'm really happy to have you here on the show and to talk about your movie and the Kickstarter program as a fundraiser. So tell us about the movie and your whole reason for going the Kickstarter route.
Thanks for having me, Dwight. Trooper is a film about a returning Iraq veteran who comes home with PTSD and a host of other issues. It's a father-son story between him and his dad, who's a Vietnam veteran who's dealing with his own issues. So it's a heartwarming, very real account of a veteran coming home and his relationship with his father and how they help each other get through each day and deal with all the issues they're facing, like the bureaucratic maze of the VA and dealing with society and trying to cope with psychological problems and very real physiological health problems. And we shot this film, you know, years ago, and it's had a huge following with veterans. We've screened it for the 101st Airborne, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans at NYU and John Jay, and we've screened it for the Gulf War veterans, and we've had some really good response from it, and we've tried to get distribution for the movie. It's been quite difficult, and we've decided to take the ball into our own hands and do a Kickstarter campaign. For those of us who don't know what that is, it's an online website where you can make pledges and donate to projects, and if they reach their goal, they get to keep the money, and if they don't, they don't get to keep it. So we're doing that to raise the money to self-distribute the film ourselves and get it out there to the public and to the so many veterans that want to see it.
Yes, okay. Now, I need to let everyone know that I'm a producer of the film. And that,
yes, you are.
And I got involved in it in a typical little story in, you know, New York. I walked into my neighborhood bar, and one of your other producers was actually doubling as a location scout, and he was looking for a house for the father to use. And one thing led to another, and after a couple of beers, I brought him down, showed him the place. Next thing I know, I'm meeting you and, you know, the other executives, and our home is part of Trooper. And you do have a, if our listeners want to go and see what the movie's about, you've got a trailer on YouTube, correct?
That's correct, Dwight. If one were to want to watch the trailer, they would just have to go to YouTube and put in Trooper and my last name, Martini. So T-R-O-O-P-E-R, Trooper, and Martini, M-A-R-T-I-N-I, and the trailer will come up. And please comment and read what others have said about the movie also.
Now, you did the first outside screening at the Military Writers Society of America conference at Orlando. And, Dale, you were a part of that. Do you remember the movie?
I do. I was just sitting here thinking about that, and it was a great story, and I was wondering why I hadn't seen it in theaters yet, and I guess we're going to work on that and make sure that happens. And Maria's hard at work putting the link for the Kickstarter information up on our Twitter and Facebook accounts, and I'll put it up on our website as soon as I get home.
And Dale, thank you. It was nice meeting you at the conference, and Dwight, also thank you for all the help you've given us on the film over the years. I have to say that you know, when you make a movie and you decide to do it, all these things happen to you along the way that kind of push you forward and make you realize you're doing the right thing. And it's all these strange coincidences, like us meeting you, who you happen to be a military writer. We ended up filming in your house, you ended up becoming a producer. It's, you know, all the things line up and just make you realize you're doing the right thing. So I wanted to thank you for all your help, Dwight.
Oh, I was happy to be in a position to do that. I see also you have a Facebook site, too.
I do. The if you just put in, if you Google Trooper Martini on Facebook, you'll find it. It'll come up. And like us and follow us, and we need all the support we can get. Our Kickstarter domain, this is probably the most important information I have to get across today, because we need a lot of help if this film's going to come out there. I bought a small URL. It's www.tinyurl.com tinyurl.com, tinyurl.com/trooperkick, TROOPERKICK.
Okay.
So please come visit our Kickstarter page. And actually, it's an interesting page to look at because I've written a personal diary about the making of the movie from the very beginning. It's a quite entertaining story.
It is. I'm looking at your Kickstarter, I guess it's called it a website, whatever it is, and we're trying to raise money for you. And I was thinking about your story and how this is so, I don't know, it's just a common thread that runs through veterans all over the world. You know, if your father was in the service and, you know, you both have your own issues and you're trying to figure out how to help each other out. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think this would be such a conversation starter if many of these Vietnam veterans and their sons who have been in, sons or daughters now, that have been in Iraq or Afghanistan could sit down and watch this together. I think they would be able to work out a lot of things that they've been holding in themselves. The more and more I think about it, Chris, I forgot what a great film this was.
Well, Dale, thank you. I think, you know, all my stories end up being father-son stories. Not all of them, but it seems to be a recurring theme in my film career so far. But so I think I kind of landed on this by accident. But it ended up being one of the strongest ways to tell the story is having a veteran from Vietnam and his son who's coming back from Iraq. It shows that, you know, the same things are going on generation after generation. It's the same issues. It's the same problems. The specifics are different, but it just shows how it's an endless cycle. And it just seemed to be the best way of telling the story also because a lot of the Vietnam veterans are helping the returning veterans now in the VA and in other areas like that. So it seemed to resonate with people, and I was actually quite surprised
it's a great story. And you know, at the Military Writers, I think shortly after we probably watched your film, many of the writers and I sat down and we were talking about being the sons and daughters of veterans. And I'm blanking out on who it was, but one of the writers down there has started up a website called Sons and Daughters. And it's a place for people to go to discuss, you know, some of these questions that they have about their, you know, their parents or their children who have been in war. I think this is a great thing. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure that people understand. I want you to explain to us, Chris, how does this Kickstarter program work?
Well, we're trying to raise $64,000, which is a lot of money, but it's the money that we need, that we know we need to finish it. And so you can get on the website. You can also just Google Trooper Kickstarter, one word Kickstarter, and you'll find it. But you go on there and you pledge, and we give you, you know, special gifts for each pledge, you know, from like DVDs to screensavers to credits on the movie. As producers,
I see T-shirts here for a $50 pledge or more.
T-shirts,
yeah.
I think one of the best gifts on there would be the DVD of the movie. I think most people want to see this movie, and
Absolutely. There's
one that has special features where you can see some you know, making of and deleted scenes and that kind of thing. But if you make a pledge, it's really easy. You help out a really good film like ours about veterans. You know, there's so many movies saturating the market of that don't really address the issues in life that we really deal with. So this is a film that does just that, and we need your help, so please support us. If we do reach our goal, we get to keep it, and if we don't, we don't. So we really need your help right now.
Right. That's one of the things that I wanted people to understand. And you've only got, I guess it looks like 30 days to go. And if you don't make your goal, then you don't get any of the money. So we want to make
correct.
Sure that people out there are helping, you know, make these donations. I'm sounding like I'm on, you know, public radio. We're not giving out doo-wop music. We're giving out great, great movie that I think veterans especially would like to see. And if they give a... This is my NPR pledge thing here. You know, if you pledge $250 or more, you're going to get to go to New York.
Christmas is coming.
That's right. What a better way to
go. The holidays are coming.
Dale,
what a better way for the holidays but to have the CD underneath the tree. I think
DVD, right. DVD.
Well, I get those confused. CD, DVD. You know what I mean, folks.
They look alike.
And the nice thing, too, is this is a way that veterans can actually contribute something that speaks to them.
I think that's important.
Right.
And Chris, this is a very important story to get out. And not just to veterans, but to civilians. You know, we have so many different types of listeners here on Veterans Radio, and we're always getting comments on thank you for telling this particular story, whatever it is. And I think that if people go to the Kickstarter program and can make a pledge to help you, you know, with your distribution, I think they're going to get something that they're going to value forever.
Dale, I got to tell you, you know, we really want to get this film out there, mostly because I can't tell you the countless screenings that I've done of this movie where, you know, veterans have come up to me and said, you know, how did you know this? You know, all these scenes were details of my life. It was like I was looking at myself.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know all the little things and the nuances, you know, and of the issues that I'm dealing with and also the reaction from society and that kind of thing. And so when you have that in the back of your mind, it becomes almost impossible to not, you know, keep pushing the film forward and finding a way to make it available to people.
Well, I'm gonna sit back and let you and Dwight continue talking, but I'm urging our listeners to go on to Kickstarter and find this Trooper site and help them out. It's a great film, folks.
Yes, it is, and it's a story on many levels. It's not just the Chris Martini character, but also his father. And it's amazing at what really struck me when I was reading the script and seeing it, you know, executed, that as much as the shared experience of the father's case in the Vietnam War and your character, Chris, you know, from Iraq, that that shared experience, the dynamic was that it both brought you two together and pulled you apart. And
right.
I was really amazed at how well you were able to pull that off. Because speaking as a writer, that's an extraordinarily difficult thing.
Yeah, the father and son both act as a positive and negative to each other. You know, they can see each other's negative qualities in each other. And, you know, but the father is in a much better position to pull out the positive, having, you know, been back for more years than the son. So, you know, there's an interesting little chemistry that goes on between them. The man who played the father is an acting teacher at the Actors Studio. He's worked with some really big actors, and his name's Gary Swanson. He brought a lot of needed humor to the role, which made, you know, the darker moments more touching and poignant. So,
yes, well, one of those darker moments, and I found it really gut-wrenching for me because of the frustration level, was when your character is in the VA office and, metaphorically speaking, he's banging his head against the wall because he's not getting his help.
I'd like to just really briefly tell about how that scene occurred. Jerry Della Sala, who is an Iraq veteran, he was an MP in Iraq, and he's also an actor.
It will be brief. We only have about a minute left, Chris.
Well, you know, Jerry, who was in the Green Zone, he was also a military advisor on the movie. When I was doing that scene, I was looking at him before we rolled, and, you know, it was like I was drawing on his facial expression, knowing he was an Iraq veteran and knowing that he's gone through the same thing, that it made that scene so much more real, and I was able to bring out that emotion.
Okay, we are almost out of time. So, Chris, if you could just tell us again about the Kickstarter URL.
www.tinyurl.com/trooperkick, TROOPERKICK, or just Google Trooper Martini, and you should find a bunch of stuff that comes up.
Chris, thank you so much for being on At Ease, and thank you so much for doing the film Trooper, and I hope that all of our listeners are able to go in there and contribute to help distribute this really important film.
Thank you, Dwight, and thank you, Dale, for all your help over the years. Couldn't do it without you guys.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, and it's a privilege for us to help promote your film, and we're hoping everybody will jump on that site and get you to your goal, and we can go down to Radio City Music Hall and see your film there.
Well, I'd love to see you there. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Dwight. Great program as usual. Amazing authors, and I can't wait to get a hold of a couple of these books especially. I'm looking forward to it. So, Dwight, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dale.
And we will be seeing you down in Dayton. Until next week, everyone, thank you for listening. You are dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.